Listen up, Umi. This is a podcast with the most Tucker. This is Forge the Narrative.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Forge the Narrative. My name is Paul, your host. I'm joined by Red Powell.
Hello.
And Tanya Gates.
Hey, everybody.
I'm fresh off of PAX. It's great to be back and hanging out with y'all. Last week was a little bit of a delay with the publish, and I apologize, but should be back on track here until the end of the year. We are the Bell Lost Souls podcast, and we got a lot of stuff to talk about. So within 24 hours of this recording, the data slate has dropped. Points have been updated. People are weeping for their super heavy tanks for the Astra Militarum. And I've just got back from PAX Unplugged, which was awesome. I've watched The Secret Level on Amazon for Warhammer and some others too. We'll talk about several of those, but you know, it's been a good week. Been a good week for Warhammer. How are y'all doing?
Doing great. I'm still coming off of the highs from the Grand Narrative, as I'm actually going to a GT this next weekend. I'm taking my Narrative Imperial Agents to it, so I'm looking forward to that. We'll see how that goes.
You got to build up those Imperial Agents win rates.
I don't know if I'll do that. In fact, I highly doubt it, but it's going to be fun nonetheless.
Tanya, I think you just came out of our RTT, right?
I did, yeah. It's one of my first games back with the Imperial Guard after a very long stint with Orcs. And you know, I was managing my expectations, so you know, I had like a points sort of goal that I wanted to score in each game, and like fully expected to not do well at all. And then I ended up going 2-1, only losing in the last round, which for me is unprecedented. So let's go. However, now my list does go up by 90 points. So.
Well, I think the list, we can talk a little bit about that in this episode, is I think the list composition for Guard is going to change right now. Sure. But then, like, we know the Astra Militarum are getting a new codex, and so it's going to change again. And you know that you know there's probably going to be another FAQ after that, so it's going to be a little bit of a rocky road for a solidified list for Astra Militarum here. And some of the biggest changes are Leontis, you know, being able to not order like Baneblades. I shouldn't say that's not a, for if it impacted you, not you specifically, Tanya, but if it impacted people out there that were using the super heavies and getting some use out of them, then I feel for them. Because really, you know, with the way that the tournament terrain works, it's kind of difficult to use super heavies, so any buffs you could throw on them is like nice, but at the same time, they're still not the most efficient things to be running outside of some incredibly niche things. And I don't think you're relying on just one character's orders to make those niches work. And I mean things like have an extra, you know, extra troop capacity or a bunch of guns, or you know, be able to vaporize one target really well. Those types of things. I don't think you're really relying on throwing the orders that way to make those strategies happen. But I still got that. I can feel it if you were getting some success out of it, and then it's no longer available. So it is a change.
Yeah, honestly, that doesn't actually affect my list at all.
I don't think it does most people, but you could tell it's like, yeah. But for the ones that does, you know, that's it. But Leon's is changing and going up in points, and then the Aquilons having the change, and the Aquilons, basically, they just ruined it for everybody. Aquilons now. So that being the 3-inch deep strike ability.
Right, yeah, the change is 3-inch deep strike, and I think, like, you know, they were sort of preparing us for this because you saw some of this coming up in the Grotmas calendar detachments where they were already moving to the 6 inches for some of these things. Like, you saw some of the stratagems where it's like you can come in within 6 inches. And so, like, I know we didn't know that, but, like, it was almost a precursor, and we kind of, you know, now in hindsight, we can see how they were building up to they were going to release this. They've already adjusted all of the Grotmas calendar detachments to make up for that. But the other thing with Leontis that was a big thing, you know, we've talked about Bulgrin and Ogryn before, is that now he can no longer order Ogryn, which is Ogryn and Bulgrin, you know, you talk about changing army lists and whatnot. You saw a lot of people, I was running a super heavy. I may not have been running Leontis. I just like big tanks. And so,
sorry, Red, I did not mean to be speaking directly to you speech, you know.
No, I get it, Paul. I like big tanks, and I cannot lie. I get it. But to that end, I wasn't using Leontis. I was using the tank commanders beforehand, even without Leon, and so it's okay. Like, and I think that, you know, we've talked about it, and I don't mean to be wishlisting or anything, but, you know, now that Leontes can't order the tank around for whatever, you know, the big heavies, for whatever reason, that's fine. Like, that's okay. What I'd really like to see is if the big tanks, because of the way, even the tournament layouts or just terrain in general, if they could have something like the Knights do, where they have to take a battle shock test, but they can move through the terrain. I think that would give them, and again, I'm sorry to wish list, but we're so close to Christmas, I can't help it. I'll drop in World Eater Vindicators at some point, I'm sure. But, you know, if big tanks could just move through big pieces of terrain, because I know that they can do that, and it's like the same thing like the Knights do that, then that would be that, you know, that's where I could see a more balance coming back on it.
You're referring to the fact that, you know, tanks can drive through most walls.
Through like anything.
Or all walls. And that they, the game designers have put those types of rules in effect for certain armies to make them more viable in the terrain. By the way, the terrain layout is great. Like, I really do think
it
that it creates lanes of fire. It creates, you know, sometimes staging areas. It really brings a bit of a balance to the army archetypes that you see developed 100%. In most play styles. So this is not an indictment of the terrain itself. Just, I also want to say that knowing that terrain and having that information should influence what you build in your list. If your expectations are to go, you know, 9-0, you know, or whatever.
Sure.
Course
of weekend. Well, I mean, it's just, yeah, knowing and understanding the terrain. And I think to your point, Paul, you know, and I think these are some of the best terrain layouts. I mean, I know that, you know, we've only gone so far with there being like a mandated terrain layout to such an extent. I mean, how many years have we really been playing with it like that?
Yeah.
I mean, a year or two years, two, I mean,
yeah,
but
yeah,
I think
two, 3 years, maybe at the most.
The process has continued to evolve. And I do think that it's gone in the right direction over time. I think the number of maps that have been presented, you know, if you're playing in a three, you know, an RTT or something, you're not going to be, you know, you're going to dodge a number of the maps that are out there, maybe. Mm-hmm. You're only going to, but there's enough variation that it's not the same three that are just being played over and over. And so, like, again, as a tangent off of, you know, my fascination with tanks driving through walls and stuff, but, like, I do think that, and totally agree that my issue not being with the layouts, because I think the layouts are great, my personal issue just being with, I want tanks to drive through stuff all the time. So.
If people are just joining us or have joined us recently in the last few episodes and we haven't mentioned it, you, and I don't want to oversimplify your job, but you drive tanks.
I have commanded tanks. And, you know, the guy who's sitting outside or out of the turret with the chainsword in his hand.
Yes.
That's like saying, like, drive the tank closer so I can hit him with my chainsword. That's me. And clearly that guy does not have like he doesn't have a joystick in his hand, like driving the tank. There's someone who's far more skilled than he is that's driving the tank. I'm no doubt. And there are plenty of people that you can probably call up and attest to the fact that I am the most useless person in that tank, sitting outside of the turret, waving my chainsword because I want to hit something.
But you're familiar with tanks capabilities.
Oh yeah. That's me. That's totally me. Yeah.
So some other point changes for the Astra Militarum is catechins went up by 10 points.
How are you feeling about that, Paul, with all your catechins?
You know,
not going to stop you, huh?
I feel like, you know, no, not me, because catechins would be my, like, my flavor that I play. It's what I prefer the army to look like. Like, even my scions are going to have their arms out. You know, that's that's what's
yeah.
up, you know? But it's like, because it's utility unit, right? They made them. They were very economical point wise, and so now they're getting some attention to make them maybe not be the auto includes. Which, you know, sure, there's a bunch of different ways you can go about doing that. The Aquilons went up by 20 points and got the hit on the 3 inches, which is, you know, maybe that's a bridge too far.
Do you think it's too much?
I don't know. So part of the strength right now, of course, movement, mobility, being able to be everywhere on the battlefield, and the Astra Militarum have a lot of ways to do that. And the Aquilons and the Scions and Gaunt's Ghost, you know, all getting a bit of the point upswing. And then you've also, you know, take it around to, oh, let me ask you your question. Do I think it's too much? I think when you have a rules hit and a points hit, then you're going to shake a lot of people off of those units. And so if it's too much, I don't know, because they still get the functionality. I just think that we'll see a lot of people abandon them in the short term until people start having success with them, and then they'll work their way back into the list.
Lack conviction. That's all I got to say.
I was only playing them in kill team, so I'm okay with the points changes.
Scions, you know, people love the Scions, and
I do. Man,
I don't think
best.
That's too much. I think they have great weapons and great utility, and you know, obviously trying to make some of that, trying to balance the Astra Militarum and all the various units that they have. It's a hard game for them to do. So I think that that will be just enough to where you'll see a reasonable amount of Scions still on the table. The Hellhound, though, that's a utility. That's a big utility piece that got some attention. And I'm kind of surprised that the Eradicator didn't get touched, but the Hellhound did.
I mean, I think that the Hellhound, especially with its, you know, ability to, you know, as long as you don't have the blast weapon, but the Hellhound to, with shooting into combat and engagement range and things like that. Like, I think that it kind of, there's a lot of utility to it, and you see it coming back around, and it is a squadron vehicle, so it can be given orders and things like that. So I think there was some stuff to that, and I understand how it made the list just because it's been out there. And so I like them. I mean, I was running a couple of them here and there. I can understand. I'm not saying that it's shaking them. You know, there isn't a rules change or anything to them, but the points, I don't think there's anything taking it off, unless I missed there was a rules change.
No, just a points upgrade. Although, yeah. I'd like to point out, the Hellhound has a 2+ armor save. Did you know that?
I did.
I did know that. Yeah.
You know, it's like when you double check that, like, a Valkyrie has a 2+ armor save, like a Valkyrie, right? Like, I mean, there is some chonky tanks flying around the battlefield right now, and the Hellhound is, with a 2+ armor save, qualifies for me as a tank.
Yeah.
just happens to have a massive flamer on the front of it.
Yeah, so it's probably still going to be taken even with a point increase because of the ignore cover or remove that, and then the 2+ armor save. So, you know, probably dead on with that.
Yeah,
I'm still taking mine.
I think it is still that good. So probably going to be fine. Like, Astra Militarum is going to be fine. But the thing with Astra Militarum is it's going to change again. Like, this is not going to be the end for the Astra Militarum. So players out there, I wouldn't worry too much about what's happened to your list right now, because, I mean, we have no advanced knowledge, but you can kind of assume that more something else is going to happen with your list.
It's just one of those things that, and I totally agree. Like, that, you know, there's, you know, a new dawn will come with the Codex, but we think that Codex is when. I know there's a roadmap out there. You know, it's winter, spring. Spring.
Yeah.
I mean, it's December. It would be nice to have that wake up on Christmas morning and
have
an Astra Militarum.
See those new Krieg models they were showing off? Yeah, that'd be great.
Oh, this looks so good.
But with that, you know, I think we saw, I don't know if y'all saw, but in regards to the status slate and everything that dropped, I mean, LVO did just come out and say, like, hey, we're gonna use it. It's going.
Well, yeah, why wouldn't you? I mean, I mean, I get they have to inform. They have a lot of players, and it's better to inform them as soon as possible. But, like, I'm a pull the Band-Aid off kind of individual.
Me too. Yep.
Like, once it's
as
out.
As a TO and judge, it's clearly what the team, like, what the game designers intended if they're making this adjustment and change. So therefore, it's just a thing for the players that, you know, like you say, we sit here and talk about the list is got to change. So if you thought you were going to come competitively to the show at LVO, you got to make some adjustments. So it's just something that's on the radar.
Speaking of being on the radar, Blood Angels, Mephiston went up 10 points.
I think he can handle that. Do you think he can handle that?
I do.
You mean a 2+ armor save, 4+ invulnerable, 4+ feel no pain, lone
Hey,
operative?
you got no change otherwise, right?
No change, yeah. Well, okay, so the
I know, it
Sanguinary
just came
Guard
out. Just came out.
points-wise went down 10 points, so it's like a wash. Like, my list does not change at all
There you
currently,
go.
so very fortunate as far as that goes. But then, yeah, the as far as like the Codex FAQ went zero. So it's just the perfect Codex. I mean, there you
Apparently.
go, right there in
Them
print.
and Tau. Tau. No change. Perfect codexes.
I
Perfect
don't know how I feel about
codexes.
that. But it is nice to you know, at least have some a little bit of consistency and stability in that list, which is
Yeah.
nice. We'll talk more about the data slates and the changes and stuff. I mean, there's a you know, a little bit of is wailing the right word for the Jukari?
Wailing, gnashing of teeth, much, a million voices cried out at once and then were silenced. I think that's how it goes.
I'd like to
I
say, you
mean,
know, be patient, you know, but
it was kind of brutal. That was, I gotta say, hitting the Void Raven bombers like that. I mean, like, you don't see very many flyers out there nowadays, right? And so for like one army to be out there to be like, hey, we're actually gonna bring our flyers, like, it's almost, you almost wish the best for them. And then for GW to just come out and be like, hey, let's just slap 20 more points on them. Oof. I mean, them, I get it.
was thinking about that. It's like flyers, you know, you don't see many of them. Like,
You
I mean,
don't.
things with fly
You
keywords,
don't.
sure, but you don't see the flyers anymore.
Right, aircraft, right?
And I know they're difficult to, you know, kind of, I guess, make cool, make it seem like they are real flyers
Yeah,
and
yeah.
work them into the game, but rough out there. Rough out there.
I
Rough
mean,
flyers.
I feel like if we made knights work, I'm sure we can make tanks and aircraft. I mean, tanks are holding true. Aircraft really are the ones that have been, you just don't s and now, to be fair, we've had periods of time in this game where aircraft have just been absolute menaces. You know what I mean? Like
Because you
it
couldn't hit them, they could fly off the board. They got bonuses for, you know, whatever. I mean, like, there's
all
can't
sorts
charge
of
them.
stuff.
Yeah,
Some of them were
that's.
psychers. Oh man. I
Those are
mean
some of my favorite flyers.
I
bet they were. You're just like, haha, look at this thing you can't hit, and it's just walking around psychic
By the
blasting
way,
everybody.
it also has D cannons on it.
Yeah, by the way, it also picks up your units that don't, and it doesn't miss because they're like torrent or something. Like they're it was silly.
Love those
It was
flyers.
so
Those are the ones I was thinking about when I was like, man, you know, you don't see flyers anymore.
Yeah, that's the kind of stuff. Like, I don't know if y'all have like seen the new Dune stuff or whatever, but it's like, I mean, even 40K, like that's why we don't have AI anymore, right? Like, because it just was that traumatizing. And the flyers probably are in a closet for a good reason, you know? Like, just put them away.
Till they've done their punishment, they've had their time out, and
Yeah.
then they can come out
So
and play a little
that
bit after they've learned
and
their
that's
lesson.
we're I mean we're joking around. There's a content creator out there. He does really well with Drukhari, and he started playing Void Raven bombers, and GW got wise to it and was like,
He's
nope,
like, get out of here. Get out of here, Scary. Who's a
gotta
great
put
friend of the
this.
show, by the way.
I actually got to watch him play last night on a streamed game, very super secret, just to sort of see what he thought of Void Raven bombers. And he is a wizard, but they are super hit and miss, so
Did he
I don't
fly it
know.
right into the trash? He's like,
No, I think he's still gonna try and make it work.
love it. I
Well,
love the
look, faction
commitment.
specialists, they do find ways to make their list work. And, you know, that's one of the things about like that concept that has remained true is that no matter what, the people that learn their army ins and outs can kind of roll with these punches and still find a ways to be successful. And, you know, I know we're talking specifically about the Astra Militarum. It's like, that's what we've seen. It's almost kind of like whack-a-mole. Like, you beat down one thing for the Astra Militarum, and the other 47 data slates in that codex, you know, then rise up to be the top, you know, because they do have a lot of options. And, you know, I think it's kind of a blessing that more of the enabler units, like the neighbors might be a bad word, but you know what I mean, like the units that buff or open up doors for other units, weren't as hard hit, and so still got some life in them for the next several weeks until whenever the codex comes out, weeks or months or whatever. But I do want that those new models to come out. You know, they said something in the stream, you know, I think we heard something like, you know, additional tank commanders and stuff like that, you know, so I'm like, yeah.
I was the first one to put my name down for that Krieg box. I want it so bad. And I had to make sure that I was the first, because sometimes with those things, there's so much demand that the allocation is not great for local stores. Mm-hmm. So I was like, first, it's me. Like, I don't even think that it had finished being announced. And I was like in the Discord, making sure everybody knew, like, I'm first, it's mine.
Oh, so more to come about the data slate and stuff. I do want to talk about PAX a little bit. So PAX Unplugged, I was actually got to be there in the Games Workshop booth. And on day one, I ran Spearhead demos. So the Age of Sigmar.
You were able to do that at Gen Con, right?
I did, and I love it. It's like you get people coming up. Some people are like, I just got the game. Teach me how to play. Sure.
Yeah, that's
like, awesome. Some people are like, what on earth is this? You know, like you got that.
Yeah.
You know, you got all those things. You know, and then you get the people, like, they ask you, like, what army should I play? You know, there's, that is a tough, I know we talked about that before, but it's a tough answer. So I give my hierarchy. It's like either, you know, you like the rules, you like the play style, or you like the way, you like the lore, the rules, or the way it looks. You know, those are great criteria, and you rank what that hierarchy is, and figure out what it means to you.
It's one of those, like, would you rather things.
Yeah.
Where, like, if someone was like, would you rather play, like, and I know this isn't, I gotta make this one interesting, like, would you rather play, so for me, I love the Dark Eldar aesthetic, right? Like, love it. Like, that was one of the first armies where it was like, man, like, especially as they were coming out with their new versions in 5th edition, mm-hmm. I was like, that's what I, like, I love the way they look. But if someone told me, like, would you rather play orcs that play like Dark Eldar, or would you rather play Dark Eldar that play like orcs? Like, I feel like that would you rather would break me.
That's tough. The next day, we switched out the demo that I was running to an Underworlds demo, and we had a guy there who was just fabulous at Underworlds, and just obviously best to have him on that station. So I went over to the paint intake, the hangout and paint place, and then so at a convention like PAX or Gen Con or Dragon Con or whatever, there are very few activities where to do something like that, where you get to, like, sit down and get your hands on something and create something and then take it away and provided all this kind of, you know, material. And so it was very popular, very, very popular. And we did some, we weren't doing counts, you know, of the people that were coming through, really doing counts. At least I wasn't doing counts, but there was at least 1,000 people a day coming through the paint and take.
And they've done so, like, at Gen Con and PAX, I assume, it doesn't cost anything.
No, right? It's free. Completely free.
You just come in, right?
Yeah.
I think Gen Con, maybe there were tickets, like one ticket or something like that to do it. Maybe. I don't know.
It might have been one of those zero-cost tickets. Who knows? You're right. There was something you had to do because the Gen Con has their own ecosystem and environment for how that stuff has to happen sometimes.
But PAX, there wasn't any cost. You can just walk up and do it, right? Mm-hmm. And then I know at some of the opens, they've done not necessarily paint and take like that, but they've done, like, little, like, thematic painting events where you show up, they've got a ton of bits. I think there was, like, a small entry fee or whatever, but you sit down and you can, like, assemble
something.
Yeah, there's
the bits challenge. Yeah. You actually, you know, pay whatever,
really,
and you
awesome.
Get unlimited bits to build your model around. You actually get typically a limited edition model, and you get to build a scenery around it. But no, that interactivity. And at these bigger cons that are not, it's not a Warhammer thing. It's a game thing. You know, they don't have this type of stuff. And it was incredibly, incredibly popular. And some people, it's crazy. You know, some people sit down and they've never touched a miniature in their life. And, you know, they paint something right there with contrast paints that looks better than 90% of the stuff you've ever painted in your life. You know, it's like, it's crazy.
Probably 90% of anything I've ever painted, that's for sure.
I mean, it's just crazy. Like, sometimes it's cool. Sometimes people, you know, they're clearly not painting the best miniature you've ever seen in your life, but they're having a great time doing it, you know? And so there's all that. And some people just like chilling out and painting, You know, there's some people that, you know, might want to get their miniature exactly right, you know, and it's
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
so they're gonna keep working it and working it and working it. But it was a pleasure to see people come through there and activate the demos, teach them how to, you know, teach them how to do their first brush strokes. This was
Yeah.
using the contrast method of painting. And people, again, they really enjoyed it. It's fun to watch seeing kids to adults do it. And some people came through multiple times, I mean, like on multiple days, like they waited in the line. The line was not short. I mean, even with 60, 70 stations active for painters, there was still a long line that took. I mean, people sit down and they take 20 or 30 minutes to paint their model. And that's what it says on the sign. So, you know, you imagine your first model, how long did it take? You know, you want to play, you play with it and stuff.
Yeah.
And people were waiting on it because they wanted to do it. And some people came through multiple times and painted multiple models. You got the choice of a Stormcast Eternal or a Space Marine, an Inferno Space Marine. And it was
That's
fun.
cool.
Real, real fun. And then, of course, you know, the crazy activity in the store, people being excited about getting their hands on, you know, the stuff, the limited edition objective markers, some Forge World stuff, or just things they can't find in their local area, or just want to hang out with some Warhammer folks. Yeah. It was a great event. PAX is incredibly chill. Like, the vibe is incredibly chill. If you thought Gen Con is chill, yeah, with the board games, PAX is on a whole other level. Everyone's just kind of vibing on a whole other level. I mean, having a great time, and there's tons of people there, but so pleasant, so polite, you know, like carefree, like nothing's bothering them, and they're there just a board game, which is awesome.
That sounds awesome.
I went to a couple of cool restaurants while I was there.
Oh, did
yeah.
you get a burger?
I did. So I got, I think, at least two burgers. I think it was at least two burgers.
At least two, but yeah. Not at the same time. Not like Smash Burger. Not like Space Crazy. Like Die. You know, I don't even know how to explain that monstrosity. I don't know how you ate that thing.
But
I bought one, Paul. I bought one, and I'm still feeding my family on it.
There's a place called, I think it's called Darling Jack's. But it was like an elevated tavern food.
Sounds cool.
I say elevated, like maybe dialed up one notch or two from tavern food.
Oh, you don't mean like literally elevated. You mean like high
yeah.
class.
I mean,
class.
Yes, a little okay. fancier than just like a sports bar type stuff.
Okay.
Service right. was great.
So like, we're not talking like Ruby Tuesdays here. We're talking.
No, we're talking living.
I'm kidding. I'm sorry.
But it was, I got a burger there and it was very good. It was actually very, very good.
That sounds good.
Yeah, I would go back. And I just didn't find time to go back. I would have gone back to that place. It's very small too, so it's hard to take a big group there. We just kind of, it was one of those times where everyone was like just dead tired because you worked the booth all day. And like everyone just like kind of floated off in their own directions. And I was like, hey, y'all want to come with me? The first people I saw in the room, like from the crew. So we went over there and found a good place. I was trying to, like, you know, asking locals and stuff where to go, and everyone had different opinions, so I just picked my own. Turns out I think I picked a pretty good place. I did look at the menus and things. I'm like, ooh, elevated burger. Well, I'm in.
Did they describe themselves as that?
No, I don't think so. I can't remember how they described themselves.
I wish they had.
Yeah. But it does have that tavern fare to it. And where else do we go? There's a place. So the convention center in Philadelphia is massive. Like, it takes up three or four city blocks.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's right next to Reading Market, which is the Reading Railroad from Monopoly.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Kind of neat.
Which one's that? Is that the, there's what, four railroads?
Yeah, Short Line, B&O, Reading, and what's the other one?
I don't know. We never played Monopoly because it always ended up in almost a fist fight.
Yeah. So we're talking like the one that's between like the yellow and the red or the blue and the green?
I do not remember. But in there, it's a food hall. It's a food hall where there's like all these cool restaurants and stuff in there. And there's butcher shops in there. Like, you could go get yourself a cheesesteak or, you know, a banh mi sandwich or and get on the train with your fresh cut steaks, take home and cook for dinner. Or what. I mean, it's a cool place. I got a good cheese from a place called Gus's in there. Pretty good. Anyway, I could eat my way around most cities. That's kind of what I spend most of my time scoping out. Like, I got to. It's where we're going afterwards.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm on a little bit of like a health journey right now, so I enjoy living vicariously through you.
And I will find the cool places to eat the questionable things sometimes and let everybody know. But let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the Amazon stuff that's on right now, and some maybe some news that we saw or what everyone's seen it, but what it means to us here in just a minute. We'll see y'all.
FTN is brought to you by Discount Games Inc. Please visit them at www.discountgamesinc.com. And don't forget to ask Jay about ways to save even more on your hobby projects.
Hey everybody, we are back. Thank you for checking out our sponsors. Maybe hit us up on Patreon. Links will be in the show notes. Get a t-shirt or a sticker. I have to get a new sticker. I think I'm going to replace something that I have a sticker on. So I need, obviously, a new sticker. And it's a cool sticker. And it's lasted there for years.
How big are the stickers?
The one I've got is about this big.
I feel like I need one for my car to go next to my roller derby team sticker.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. No, it's been good. I've got one on the laptop. I'm pointing out, like, you can see some on the side of this laptop right now. And then one on the back of my tablet case, and then a couple other things. But no, it's there. They are. They're really good. And they shall know no fear.
Oh, snap.
So Amazon Prime has a new series called Secret Level on there, which, again, I'm sure everyone has seen that come through their feed. But if you haven't watched it yet because you think it's going to be silly or goofy or not do it justice, stop what you're doing, log into Amazon from work or wherever, and watch this right now because it's incredibly cool.
Parental advisory warning, just throwing that out there. But yeah.
Okay, that's actually a good point because it's like full on Warhammer without the filter.
Well, and it's in the middle, right? Like there's like eight small episodes released, and like so like they're all like 15 to 20 minutes, and they're all associated. Like this whole Secret Level thing is just this compilation of different games, system stuff, kind of brought together for this, and it's really great. Episodic approach, none of it's connected to one another, and but the Warhammer one's like number 4 or 6 or something like that, and so if you just start at the beginning and watch through, the Warhammer one's a little bit easier. I mean, there's no and I'm not like against one or the other, it's just if you jumped into this you're like, oh, it's like a video game thing, and I'm just gonna
no there's
run
gore
through
I mean they
the
punch through
yeah,
people's
there's...
faces and stuff. I mean, there's like there is, there is animated violence, and so if that's not your thing, or you're right, I should have definitely put that on there. But it is
my thing.
Yeah. Well, well, it's there. Like they do. Like it's. So it kind of reminded me of some of that, initial like YouTube, like vibe of how cool. What was it? Not Astartes.
Astartes. I mean, that was one of the big ones.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a big one.
Yeah. So, but it's like the animation is like a million times better. But it shows only like full marine aggression, and I don't want to put any spoilers or whatever. But like in the very very first few minutes of the thing, I'm like, is this just going to be like like a marine showcase? Mm-hmm. This whole time, like I already know how cool Space Marines are. That's. Yeah, but it doesn't mean that was just for me or whatever. But no, it actually unfolds to be a cool thing. And again, I don't want to spoil anything, but it's not just that Marine Showcase type thing. There's actually some cool stuff that happens.
I don't think it's a spoiler to say that for context, it's a continuation. Like it's definitely set after Space Marine 2. Like, I don't think that's
okay.
Like it's because there's, there is a character from that. And so, like, some people are going to be like, well, what's this? Like, why does that matter or whatever? And there's some connection to the game Space Marine 2. And so, like, I think it's fair to say, like, just in like how it kind of where it's at or whatever. Just because, and I think, you talk about how awesome it was at PAX and the interest and all, we saw it at Gen Con. You see where these people are interested in this thing as it's starting to pick up this pace. And now, like, think of how this thing's just with the access to Amazon and, like, watching this thing on Amazon Prime. And now, like, space marines are all over the place all of a sudden. Like, and there's so much more to like go off of and explore, because, you know, from this one thing, if you were to go expand into this, you have Space Marine 2, you've got Bolt Gun, which is another, you know, video game that could play, which is like a Space Marine, but in like old 1990s Doom kind of game, and you can play that. And like, there's just all this other stuff to go off of. You know, there's the Joy Toy action figures we've talked about before. There's all sorts of stuff that
I want, like, all of
the
those.
Connection to
I really do. Like, it's like every time I see one, I'm like, I don't need those, but I really want them.
I mean, you know, and so there's like all this great stuff to run with from here, and like where it's, you know, leading up to this, I can't say it was leading up to the Amazon sale or the Amazon release of Secret Level, but like they just did an Audible sale where like all the audiobooks and stuff. I mean, I admit I own all the physical books. I get it. But I did go buy every Gaunt's Ghost book all over again for Audible. And it was, I mean, they're all like $4 last week. And so like there's all this stuff that, you know, attaching the 40K universe has so much to it that this is just you just took 15 minutes and exploded all over the world with like how cool this thing is. I mean, admittedly, you know, I started with the parental advisory, and yet after I watched it and I saw like what was all in it and everything like that, I play Space Marine 2 with 3 of my 4 children. And so we then all watched this episode, and like, I had to detail it because it was, and again, without ruining anything, they asked so many questions, and I was like, guys, can we not just enjoy like this thing right now? Like, as this, you know, in Space Marine 2, they're called Bulwark, but like we would know them from the game itself as Blade Guard, right? That's what, because, you know, whatever, but you see enough of it. Anyways, some of the questions without ruining anything, man, it was so funny because they ask all the funny questions. They're like, why wouldn't they bring bigger guns? Like, they know they've got bigger guns, right? And they're like, how much ammo can they hold? I was like, don't worry about how much ammo they can hold. Like, I know you guys run out of ammo all the time because you can't hit anything. You know, it's like, and then one of the questions, why is the blood glowing? I was like, I don't know. Why are there bird people? Like, come on. Like, it was just a lot of fun, and they enjoyed it. And they're like, you know, you talk about, you know, the gore and everything. Again, you know, when one of my kids is like, he just headbutted that guy, like, and he died. I'm like, yep, that just happened. That's right. It was so funny. So funny. I mean, all the things that we, you know, we love about the game and the world and everything like that kind of coming to it.
They look cool. And the way they're fighting, it's like realistic. Like, this is how Space Marine fights. You know, this is like, you know.
So I haven't seen it. I don't really watch anything. So I'm really curious, though, now that you've seen this particular episode, how do you feel about like a Warhammer centered series coming to Amazon? Because I know a lot of people are really worried about it not really capturing the scale of the Warhammer 40K universe. And some of them are like worried that it's going to be too, I don't know, rated PG to really capture the essence of Warhammer. So how do you guys feel about it?
There's so much we don't know, and this is all speculation, right? But I equate this to, of course, there's some trepidation, like, oh no, what if they pull a Star Wars, you know?
Yeah.
You know, but there, I feel like that the people that are involved with that we know that are involved with that, and, you know, seeing Henry Cavill post, you know, affirmative things about the show and, or about the involvement, and then what we know about how much he cares about the properties that he works on in that, when it's that level of capacity, and you know that there are other fans of the property working on it, then I was put at ease. Then you see something like this, and it's great. Like, it really is great. It's very Warhammer. There is a lot of very, very Warhammer things in there. If you are a fan of anything that's in this Secret Level episode, meaning, are you a Space Marine fan? Are you a Chaos fan? Are you a, you know, you happen to be a Rabid Cultist fan? You know, I don't know. But whatever it is that you are, if you are a fan of any aspect of it, it's done well. and you're going to have a hard time finding some type of something to complain about that's going to find purchase, you know. And so I'm very excited about what is coming and just am on the edge of my seat wanting to and waiting to know more about it. And when you see something like this, oh, by the way, the entire secret level stuff is done. I've watched three episodes. I've watched the Warhammer episode. There's a Dungeons and Dragons episode that I watched, and then a Pac-Man episode that I watched. Like I don't know even where on earth that Pac-Man stuff is from. Like, believe me, I've played all the video games. I've watched the early cartoons from the 80s. I'm pretty sure I've read a comic book, and it ain't nothing like what's in that. Episode.
It's all these different, you know, directors or artists or whatever. It's all their different takes on it.
Oh, I love it.
Gone about showing it. It was great stuff. Very similar to, you know, Love, Death, and Robots, another little show, and like how it's set up. Nothing's connected, but you kind of get this theme from it. And like, you know, people can have differing opinions on the aesthetic, the approach, or, you know, maybe it was too morbid or too whatever, and that's okay. Like, I mean, just like any appreciation for different efforts of people trying to put themselves out there. And that's, you know, going into the series, you know, Tanya, like you're bringing it up. I mean, we think about it, look at the Black Library books that have come out, like the Horus Heresy books, the Beast Arises series, the Siege of Terror series. Like, the authors had to go out on a limb and kind of consolidate. Like, they took what was like a mythos of how the Horus Heresy went down, or how the Siege of Terror went down, or whatever, all these things that we loosely have read in every different rule book as it's come out, different renditions of the Horus Heresy or whatever. And they had to like make that concrete. And I think some of those authors in a lot of different ways really put themselves out there with how they were incorporating all these little things, and like the Primarchs, right? We've talked about the Primarchs and like making them almost, you know, realistic to a certain extent, and the risks that those authors took in doing so. And we know that, I mean, we all have our opinions on it, and there's people that haven't liked the material or haven't liked the direction it's gone or haven't liked how things occurred. And, you know, the Siege of Terra, I know, like, Paul, you know, it's a tough thing to have to reconcile that Sanguinius did in fact die, you know, like it's tough to go through, right? And like, we can have different opinions on how well that was or wasn't done, but it happened. And like, we kind of have to agree that, you know, that's canon, right? Like, we're all worried that Spider-Man 2090 whatever is going to come get us if we're not canon, but like, it's a thing. Like, that happened. And so like, whatever's going to happen with the series,
like, it's Across the Spider-Verse, you know,
pretty good, right? Like, good. How I just good. Slid that one
that
in
was and good.
And, like, yeah, and like, so we're going to get to this thing with the Warhammer series, and it's going to be what, like, it's going to happen. And like, we're going to, I don't think it's something that fairly, without giving it a chance. And like, that could be a foot in the door for something more. Like, maybe it won't be as satisfying as a lot of people hope for, but maybe it's enough, and we want it to be successful enough that it, like, we just more opportunity.
We don't know anything about the story, about what, you know, what,
sure,
the time period that they're doing it, or the story that's being done, the characters, the scope. We don't know anything about that yet, but I just have a lot of faith in the people that I know to be involved and how much they care about the source material. And that typically translates to a great production performance, you know, attention to the detail, the story, you know, those things. And I'm real excited, real excited. And, you know, when you see, the more I see, the more faith and attention and care, lovingly crafted things, gets me more and more, you know, I guess, in the right mind space that this can happen. We can see this on the screen, and it will be good.
We mentioned it, like, look at Astartes, right? Like, when, I don't know about y'all, but I thought that was awesome. And I may be wrong, but I could almost see the guy who did Astartes having something to do with And They Shall Know No Fear, right? Like, there's traces of it, like seeing a Michelangelo painting here, and then like years down seeing some of his work later. Like, I there's almost a vein to it. And Astartes was really good when it all came out. Like, everyone was like, oh man, that was it. Like, that was that was on fire. And then now this and you know, secret level episode drops. It's like, okay, like, what's next? Like, let's see it. Let's
go. Use more. Next Plug one. It right into That's the veins. Right. You know, of course, there are cool animated things on Warhammer Plus too. I mean, it's like those, like, we know this stuff can happen. So it's
the
just
Death
all the
Watch video. I mean, it's all over there. It's all over the place.
It's building up to cooler things, and I just, you know, cannot wait to know more. But that post we got from both Games Workshop and Henry Cavill was a very encouraging and, you know, nice little appetizer, you know, for maybe what's to come. Looking
and
forward to it.
The exciting part is that they've also left the door open for expansion into like other parts of the franchise as well. So I find that really interesting. Maybe it'll be some old world content. You never know.
That's right. You know, look, let's just hope it continues to build and be successful. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I mean, Warhammer TV on Warhammer Plus, there's some Age of Sigmar stuff, right? And like they've even taken that and then made the models based off of like the story and the episodes they've had there. And so like there's some really great stuff they can turn around from that. And I mean, I'd love to, especially as the old world has been picking up some speed, and I think with Age of Sigmar, like, I'd love to see more stuff from that. I think that'd be awesome to see too.
So speaking of then They Should Know No Fear, we could talk about some Space Marine changes that came about with the FAQs and erratas.
I thought it was a good change. I thought it was a good, especially after they dropped, which I again, you know, I've talked about Death Watch. They dropped that Death Watch detachment, which we haven't, you know, came out since the last time we recorded. Awesome. Great that people are now able to like incorporate and bring a lot of the stuff that they had previously, right? Because it's no longer just kill team veterans. But for this new change for the Oath of Moment, you know, it's if your army does not include Black Templars.
Any of the cool chapters.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah. Sorry, you can go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No. That is a way to say Black Templars, Blood Angels, Dark Angels, Death Watch, or Space Wolves. You get an upgraded version of Oath of Moment, right? And so you've got that added in. It essentially, and this is a balancing thing. I think that it allows you to, like, you know, there's a lot of reasons as to why wouldn't I always just take one of the special ones? Well, because you could get this and you upgrade Oath of Moment. But it's also important to lay out that, a bit of struggle or stress with what they changed to Armor of Contempt, where it used to be, you know, you could drop Armor of Contempt and for that whole phase, that unit was reducing the AP of incoming attacks. And now it's only for the one unit that was shooting at it, and it's no longer for the whole phase. And I know that that's put a lot of duress on Space Marine players right now.
That hasn't been talked about. And also, you know, the fact that, I mean, there's been a lot of cry that, of course, the Ultra Marines are getting all the love. Like, every, you know, they're going to be the best, and everyone's going to play Ultra Marines. But a lot of the strength of the Ultra Marines, and not jump around. I'm sorry. I did just kind of, like, unintentionally segue there. But Oath of Moment getting the plus one to wound is massive.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I missed that.
Yeah, it is massive. And the other codexes have other things that help them do that kind of stuff, that they don't necessarily need that little bit of extra love, as they're focused on being distilled down into what that chapter does. So I'm not really heartbroken about it, although it does seem like a bit of an omission. Like, are those other, you know, but you can though begin to put your love and attention on those individual codexes if you feel like they need them or feel like, you know, a push, and that's kind of okay. But then go with the Armor Contempt. That is actually huge. Like, that turns some of these super units into, you know, super for a moment, and the game is very lethal, and you've decreased the effectiveness of that stratagem by some magnitude that is sometimes, you know, non-existent, but it's sometimes infinitely like formidable and impactful. So I think that's probably a change that, when it matters, it's a good change, a good play experience for the opponent as well, as the person that uses it getting the benefit from it. But then then the Ultramarine side of things is that the Ultramarine's characters pretty much wholesale got increases for points. Mm-hmm. Like Gilliman getting plus, Gilliman's back to like pre-balance points almost.
Right.
So he's been balanced back, you know, whatever, to like his first release points. Not really. I think he was 420 or something then, but he's up there. He's plus 60 points. Marnie's Calgar up some points. Uriel Ventress up some points. Like there is pretty much increase across the board for all the Ultramarine characters that people are taking. So I think that's going to help maybe change some of the efficiency of the Ultramarines list if people are really worried about that. So it seems like the designers had some of that in mind as well. I don't know if y'all were playing a bunch into the Ultramarine meta, but...
Nope.
Well, but I've not. But to that end, like, I mean, you know, and I think Abaddon saw a point increase as well. Like, I think there's just something to some of those bigger units, and there's some anticipation of how it was going to play into it. And I think even like the most recent one that just dropped, the Grotmas detachment, the Librarius detachment, mm-hmm. for Space Marines. Awesome. A really strong detachment. That if it's a psychic unit, you essentially pick one of the disciplines they have and you add in these massive buffs that, like, along with what you're already doing, if you've got librarians all over the place on top of the army, things like Gilman is a multiplier. He what he does for the whole army and what he brings to force is a big deal. And so they're anticipating some of this, you know, just like they're anticipating the effectiveness of Void Raven bombers. I'm just sliding that one back in. But Gilman, he does have play and he can get out there and do stuff. I'm not saying that you're sitting there watching it throw down and win every tournament or anything, but I think it's good of them to be thinking like that. And for the game design, you know, you mentioned how they bounces back and forth and where he finds himself at now. I mean, that means they're watching it. They're keeping an eye on things. If they think, oh, you know, like, okay, we got to adjust this one. And if Gilliman is the barometer somehow, like, so be it.
No, fair enough.
The Lion, like, you know, they gave him his sweeping attacks, went up back to 2 damage. I mean, he's back to straight up murking Chaos Space Marines with one hit each time. So, and I get it. It's good.
Vicious.
He is.
Infernus Marines getting an AP.
Right.
On their weapons. I don't know what that means. I don't know if people are going to take them, but that torrent with a -1 AP is not nothing.
I mean, not when, you know, I mean, my boy's got the Leviathan box, so, like, to suddenly take the Infernus and step it up at AP -1, like, my other son's Tyranids are not going to appreciate that. Like, it was, like, at least they had a chance with their little 5-ups or 6-ups or whatever. Now they don't even get that. I mean, I'm sure that'll be its own discussion.
Yep. And Reavers, actually, I don't know anyone who's playing Reavers currently. But this ability of subtract 1 from the objective control characteristics of models in the enemy unit within 3, that's not nothing.
Nope, it's not. And you throw in a Phobos Librarian on top of that and what that's going to add to it, like that. That can be a really mean unit. Really mean unit.
So I think the Space Marines are going to have some shakeup in their composition, and I know they've been doing pretty well as far as like what is on the table. But I was kind of surprised that Vindicators did not go up in points.
I mean, they are. You leave my Vindicators alone. I don't care what list. I just want a big brick with a big old fat cannon just rolling around, just globbing shells at people.
Yep.
Okay. Just let it go. Just let it happen. Seed shield is still one of my favorite things. And the rules that they've got built in for the seed shield, that it can just, it's a blast weapon that can just shoot into engagement range. Just let it happen.
Now, fair enough. But, you know, you do kind of, I mean, you look at some of the stuff across the board and things like the Predators and the Vindicators have been pretty much in every list. And you know, I don't want to say I'm surprised. I'm not really surprised because I don't know that they need the attention, you know, but I'm using that point to illustrate that the changes that were made seem very targeted and not in a bad way, you know, as like with a scalpel about how to nudge the game into more equilibrium, which I think is it's kind of evidence of that, which seems, I don't know, seems cool to me.
Well, I agree. And when you look at it, you know, points efficiency wise, I think Predators usually have sat around 130, 140 points or so. Vindicator is about 180, 185. And then when you look at this Custodes, right, you look at this tank they got that has just been running the show as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, the Gladius tank?
Ridiculous. Ridiculous. Like, we're sitting here, like, I'm sitting here over here trying to, like, protect my Vindicators that I'm not even playing. I just want to, like, I want to coddle them. I want to, like, you know, just take care of them. Just good little tanks, just trying their best as hard as they can. And then you got this Caladius over here just bullying people. Just straight up, just picking on little kids. 215 points, just eating kids' lunches and taking their lunch money. Those things are mean. Like, they are. They hit on twos. They've got invuln saves. They've got two up armor saves. They've got a ton of wounds. And their guns just wreck people. And they're strong tank. Those are good tanks. For 215 points, those things, not touch, just running it. And they just dropped a detachment that made Custodes vehicles better. Like, I mean, they can have it. They can get it. And like, I'm in full support. Custodes players needed good tanks.
Don't worry. And the Dawn Eagle jet bike captain went up by 20 points.
But he went up by 20 points, and then they added and they made those missiles better. Those missiles are rocking. Like, they made, like, jet bikes are coming. Like, jet bikes are back on the menu.
Okay.
It is, like, you're going to see it. It's coming. Jet bikes, and then Caladius sitting in the back just bullying people from the other side of the field. And, like, that's a good mix. I think I like Custodes. I have a primed white army that I'm looking forward to eventually getting to whenever I get there. But I don't want it to just be infantry. As beautiful as the infantry are, there's so many other good things to that. And to have Custodes jet bikes that can move around and get and do those things, but it doesn't need to be just one thing. And so they can have the tanks, they can have the infantry, they can have the bikes. Like, that there's some dynamic development to that with Custodes, and I'm looking forward to seeing what people bring and make work. I mean, they just won Worlds, right? But it doesn't have to be just one thing. Like, I know his list, he had three Blade Masters, and that's really exciting and awesome.
Yeah,
Blade Champions. Like, I love them. Like, they look great, and they do some great stuff for the army with the amount of wardens that he had and all that. Like, really good stuff. But it doesn't just have to be that. And now, I think even with this, you know, to this point, I'm sure there's someone out there, you know, who could say, well, why can't there also be World Eater Vindicators? But, like, you know, to be a Custodes player right now, you can bring it all in. You can tie it all in there. They didn't make it so that something else was worse. They actually just made something better, and I can bring those too. So now I can bring bikes in. So it's pretty exciting. I mean, yeah, again, I'm just – Adam's not here. So I got to get it in.
Oh, let it out. You know, this is the point, you know, especially when things are changing. You can kind of look like, why this wasn't this changed, or why can't it be this or that or the other. But we'll save that for next week, as we get more of these Grotmas detachments. And I don't know if anybody, we pick our favorite ones coming up soon. But that's our show this week. It's been a pleasure talking with y'all, and I appreciated hanging out. And again, sorry for the delay last week. We should get this one out on time. Please leave some comments, leave 5-star reviews wherever you're listening to us. And it is, you know, great to be back and great hanging out with y'all. See y'all next week, everybody.
See ya.
Bye, everybody.
I don't know what they said, but I already subscribed. You better do it too.